First, I want to welcome everyone. Appreciate so much each and every one who is here. And those of you who are visiting, we want you to know that we are grateful that you've come to be with us this morning. As has been announced, today is when we appoint new deacons. Remember, the Bible talks about a particular work that the Lord has called upon for churches to have and the church for it to work and to be function properly, and that is deacons. We have elders and deacons. Philippians 1 and verse 1 says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, we find that qualifications are listed of the deacons. And we've put forth men who have expressed their willingness to serve. They meet qualifications. And we ask the congregation if there are any who had some objections or some concerns about these men, they can go to them. Also talk to the elders about this. But we have not received any objection of the four men that we have put before you to be appointed as new deacons. Of course, we have two deacons already, Jerry McIntosh and Mike Walsh, who serve as deacons here. And now there are four others who we want to appoint as deacons, and they are Steve Brazel, Henry Chapman, Mike Smith, and Nathan Vick. And so these are good men, men who are faithful servants of the Lord, who are willing to serve as deacons, and we are just delighted to appoint them as these deacons of this congregation. And welcome them as those who are these new servants in the congregation here. My lesson is not just about, is not about deacons, but it does have application to the work of deacons. We're going to mention them in the sermon to this morning. But I want you to first turn with me in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. I want to begin reading with verse 1, read a few verses down to verse 9. So turn with me in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. In verses 1 and 2 it says, After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. And go down to verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Here a transition is taking place for the children of Israel. Moses is now dead, and Joshua is now to lead them to the promised land. Now Moses had been their leader for 40 years, and many of them had never known of any other leader than Moses. Now Moses is gone. Now they must turn to Joshua and face a very formidable task of entering the promised land, to take the land against some very formidable enemies. And they do that. I think we can all safely say that Moses and Joshua were successful in the mission that God had called upon them. And the question that I want to ask this morning is, why were Moses and Joshua successful? Why? Well, let's first of all talk about it from a negative viewpoint. They were successful not because they did not have any weaknesses. We know that they were not sinlessly perfect. We know that Moses was not. You remember in Numbers chapter 20, the children of Israel came to a place where there was no water. They began to complain. They contend with Moses about this. We should have died already. Why didn't we die? And Moses, of course, goes to God. God tells him to take he and Aaron and with his rod and gather the children of Israel. And at the rock, he was then to speak to that rock and water would come forth. Well, Moses, he took his rod, gathered the people, but he says, "Shall we bring you water out of this rock, you rebels?" And he took his rod and he struck the rock. Now, water did come forth, but God said to Moses, "Because you did not believe in me to sanctify me in the eyes of the people, you will not bring this assembly into the land of promise." Moses was not allowed to enter into the promised land. Was Moses without weakness? No. What about Joshua? Was he without weakness? You remember in Joshua chapter 9, when they're in the land, conquering the land of Canaan as God had commanded, and he told them not to spare any of them, but to destroy all the people of the land. But then there were a people from Gibeon that came. Gibeon was a city in the land, but they feigned a people from a faraway land. They told Joshua and the children of Israel that we're from a faraway land. We're not from this land here. And they gave evidence of that by having moldy bread, and their sandals were old and patched, and their wineskins were old and patched up, and their clothes were old. And they said, "When we left our land, the bread was warm, hot. The clothes were good and new. The wineskins were new. But now look, they're all old and patched. And the bread is moldy and dried." And so they made a covenant with the Gibeonites, which the Lord had told them not to do. What was the problem? It says in verse 14 of this chapter, Joshua 9, it says, "But they did not ask counsel of the Lord." Was Joshua without weakness? Was Joshua without fault? No, he had fault. And it was not because they had some natural charm about them as being the reason that they were successful. Was Moses a man with charm and charisma? This is what we call charisma. You know, it seems that some people have such charm. All they have to do is walk into a room and everyone turns and gives them attention. Something about their demeanor, about their personality that just draws people to them. Is that the reason that Moses and Joshua were successful, is because they had such charisma? Well, I don't know about Moses when he was 40, when he went out to meet his fellow Israelites, and you remember he, in defending one of his brethren, he killed an Egyptian, supposing that they would understand that God was going to use him to deliver them out of that Egyptian bondage. That's the way Moses felt about it at age 40, and maybe he had some charisma. But at age 80, 40 years later, I don't see any charisma in Moses. When God appeared to him at the burning bush, and God says, "I want you to go to Egypt and bring my people," Moses began to say, "You know, send someone else, not me." He says, "I am not eloquent. I'm slow of speech, slow of tongue. Send someone else." Here's a man who does not have confidence, which is one of the characteristics of charisma, someone who has confidence. Moses didn't have this at the time, but God used him. Was Joshua one who had great charisma and charm? Well, I don't know, but the point we're making is that their work was not because they were people of natural charm or charisma. That was not the reason that they were successful. So why were they successful? Well, it was simply this. It's just a simple thing. And that is, God was with them. God was with them. That was the reason they were successful. Notice what God said to Moses at the burning bush in chapter 3, beginning with verse 9. "Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. God says, I will be with you. And God was. And that was the reason he was successful. Also with Joshua, it says in Joshua 1 verse 5 that we read earlier, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And then later, when they came to the Jordan River, to cross the Jordan just before the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant stepped their feet in the Jordan River, the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. That's the reason that they were successful. And brethren, let's not just read through that. This is highly significant. If God is with you, He will be able to accomplish whatever He wants you to accomplish. You will be successful. That's the reason they were successful. To emphasize this point and the fact that the Bible emphasizes this, let's look at some others whom God was with. You remember Gideon, who was one of the judges. In the days of the judges, the Midianites had oppressed the children of Israel, and God called Gideon to go and to fight against the Midianites. And the Midianites were an innumerable, the Midianites and Amalekites, whom they were to fight against, were an innumerable group of people. Notice in Judges 6, beginning with verse 14, then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? So he said to him, O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. That's probably right. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. And you remember, it was not with, 32,000, but it was with 300 that he went against the Midianites. And because God was with him, he defeated the Midianites. You remember Jeremiah, when God called him to be a prophet to the nations. God was with him. Jeremiah chapter 1, beginning with verse 4, says, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you. Whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Jeremiah had the task of preaching the Word of God, speaking God's Word to a people who would not hear. God says, I'll be with you. He was successful in accomplishing the work that God had called upon him to do, because God was with him. You remember David. We talked about this on the radio program this morning. When he came and saw Goliath's challenge to the children of Israel, and he encouraged his brethren to go, but they wouldn't go, and then he decided to go. Why? You remember what he said in verse 37 of 1 Samuel 17? David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to God, go, and the Lord be with you. And the Lord was with him. You remember what David said in verses 45 through 47 when he came against Goliath? Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. And I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands." Why was David successful against Goliath? Because God was with him. You remember Zerubbabel and Joshua, when they returned from the captivity to rebuild the temple. They began the rebuilding of the temple and they laid the foundation, but then they got some opposition. Not only that, the people became apathetic and they stopped building. They built their own houses. For 16 years, the foundation of the temple laid dormant. Nothing was done. And then Haggai and Zechariah, the prophets, they prophesied to the people, urging them to resume the rebuilding of the temple. Notice what Haggai says in Haggai chapter 1, beginning with verse 12. "Then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Joshua the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the presence of the Lord." In other words, they obeyed the words of the prophet as God spoke to them. "Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, 'I am with you, says the Lord.'" And look also in chapter 2 and verse 4. "Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work." Why? "For I am with you, says the Lord of hosts." And you know, within 4 years, they had completed the temple. God was with them. Remember the apostles, when they were sent out on the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus told them to go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Was the Lord with them? Were they successful in their work of preaching the gospel to the world? Yes. Why? Because the Lord was with them. Not because they had some great ability. All of these men that we're talking about here were not men necessarily of great abilities, and they were able to accomplish it because of what was within them. It was all because they put their trust in God, and God was with them. And they then were successful. You remember what David, the psalmist, wrote in Psalm 23 and verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The reason that we can be successful and prosper in the work that God has called upon us to do is because God is with us, and that's the only reason. The success of one's mission is dependent upon whether God is with him. If God is not with us, we will not prosper. You remember in Numbers chapters 13 and 14, when the children of Israel came to Kadesh, and they sent spies, the 12 spies, into the land. And when they came back, 10 of the spies gave an evil report of the land. It says, "They're living in strongholds. They're too powerful for us. They're giants in the land. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. We cannot take the land." Joshua and Caleb said, "We can if we'll put our trust in God." But the people listened to the 10 spies who gave the evil report. And they began to complain and contend with Moses, wanting to go back to Egypt even. Remember in chapter 14, verses 40 to 23, this is after God now had said, "Okay, you'll not enter the land. You're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, and all from age 20 and upward will die in the land." Well, the people had a change of heart. They said, "Okay, we'll go now." Verse 40. "And they rose early in the morning and went up to the top of the mountain, saying, 'Here we are, and we will go up to the place which the Lord has promised, for we have sinned.' And Moses said, 'Now why do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? For this will not succeed. Do not go up, lest you be defeated by your enemies, for the Lord is not among you. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword, because you have turned away from the Lord. The Lord will not be with you.'" And we know what happened. Is they went to fight, but they were driven back because the Lord was not with them. If we are going to be successful in any mission that God has called upon us to do, it's going to be because God is with us. The power is not within us. The power is within the Lord and all that we are to do. Well, why was God with Moses and Joshua? Well, the reason that God was with them is because these were men who trusted God and who humbly submitted to His commands. These were people who were dedicated to God. Not selfish, selfless. They were ones who humbled themselves before God and said, Lord, whatever Your will is what we'll do. And they determined to put into practice God's will within their life. And God was with them. You remember Moses here in Numbers chapter 12. What kind of man was Moses? This is now at the occasion when Miriam and Aaron, this is Moses' sister and brother, were challenging the authority of Moses. You remember that? Notice beginning with verse 2 of Numbers 12, it says, so they said, has the Lord, that is Miriam and Aaron, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has He not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. Now, the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. And notice what the Lord goes on to say, verses 6 through 8. Then He said, hear now My words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make Myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with Moses. My servant Moses, he is faithful in all his house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against My servant Moses? What kind of man was Moses? A man who was dedicated to the Lord. A man who was faithful to the Lord in seeking to do the Lord. Was he perfect? No. Was he without weakness? No. He was one who was dedicated to serving Him. And what about Joshua? Joshua, you remember, was one who was humble. And he obeyed the commands of the Lord. In Numbers chapter 11 and verse 15, as the Lord has commanded Moses, His servant, so Moses commanded Joshua. Now notice, and so Joshua did. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Moses. Look at chapter 24, this famous or very familiar statement of Joshua. Beginning with verse 14, Joshua said to the people, now therefore fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river are the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for Me and My house, we will serve the Lord. Now that's the kind of man that Joshua was. Both Joshua and Moses were ones who were dedicated servants, who trusted God and determined to put into will His life. And those are the ones whom God would are with. Whom is the Lord with? Remember back in Joshua 1, verse 7, God says to Joshua, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What's the condition here for Joshua? If he's going to be prosperous and successful, and God being with him, is obeying the law. Keeping the law of God before him. Day and night. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, Azariah the prophet said to Asa, the king of Judah, verse 2, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, The Lord is with you while you are with Him. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. We see the condition God gives. If we're with Him, if we're seeking Him, we love Him, we're dedicated to Him, we're not thinking about what we want, but we're thinking about what does God want? What will glorify Him? And we trust Him in all that He commands. Then the Lord has promised that He will not forsake us, but that He will be with us. James 4 and verse 8 says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. There's the promise. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. That's what it means to draw near to God. We cleanse ourselves of sin within our lives. Is God with you? Let's make some applications here. There are two elders in this congregation here. You know, whatever success the elders may have in shepherding a flock of God's people, it will not be built upon their being without weaknesses, and the two here are not without weaknesses. And it will not be because they have some natural charm or charisma. And I know I don't. And I'll let you speak for Robert. We don't have any of that. What will enable us to be successful as elders and shepherds of this flock? It will be because God is with us. That's the reason. And that will be the only reason that we will be successful. What about deacons? Our deacons and the new ones that have just been appointed. What will enable the deacons to be successful in their service within a local church? It will not be because these men are without weaknesses. It will not be because they are men of great charisma. It's not because they have some great abilities to be able to do this work that we want them to do. That's not the reason. The reason they'll be successful as deacons is because God is with them. And what about evangelists, gospel preachers? You know, whatever success a gospel preacher may have in his preaching, it will not be because he has no flaws. It will not be because of some natural charm or charisma. As a matter of fact, charisma can even be a hindrance. In fact, a church can be so charmed by the man that and his personality that they overlook what is important. They allow him to become their leader. And so that's not really what makes them successful. It has to be a man who loves God, who's dedicated to God, who trusts God, who is faithfully serving and following the will of God within his life. That's the reason. What is it that you look for? What do churches look for when they look for a preacher many times to come and work with them? Many times they want that charisma and that charm and he's got some people skills and he's all of this. And I'm not saying that people skills are not important. But what I am saying is that's not the reason that he will be successful. It will be because of his dedication then to God. And then what about the rest of us? What will enable any of us to be successful in accomplishing the Lord's work in our lives? You know, none of us are without weaknesses and flaws. We all vary in our abilities. You know, a few may have natural charm or charisma, but probably most of us do not. Some have been Christians longer than others. Some have different backgrounds. Some have been converted out of the world. Some out of denominationalism. Some were converted young, converted by their parents who are Christians. But you know, all of this does not matter. What matters is whether or not God is with them. Only the one whom God is with will be successful in whatever God sends him to do. Let's not lose sight of that point. Someone says, well, I'm faithful to the Lord and I'm serving Him and based on my abilities now, what I have done, then I can accomplish this. No. When we are faithful servants to the Lord, we're putting our trust in Him as the one who will be with us and will make sure we accomplish what He calls upon us to accomplish. God is the one that's working through us. And let me say something too. It may not be what we think. That is, what we are accomplished may not be what we would expect or what we want. Think about Jeremiah. Was God with Jeremiah? Yeah, God was with him and he was successful. Jeremiah was persecuted. Jeremiah was put in a dungeon. Jeremiah was, during the captivity, was taken to Egypt. The people, he said, don't go. But they took him to Egypt. Was he successful? Now, from the view of the man, it might think, well, Jeremiah's not very successful. But God was with him through it all. And we might, in our service to him, think, well, why isn't this happening? Why doesn't this happen? Why aren't these things being accomplished? Well, if we're just faithfully serving the Lord, one thing we can know, God is with us and we are successful. It may not look like we would like for it to look, but we are successful. Why? Because God is with us. You know, someone might ask, well, how do I know that God is with me? How can I know that? Well, I think that the answer to that question would be similar to the question, how do I know I'm saved? How do you know you're saved and going to heaven? Well, we know that when we obey the commands of the Lord is commanded to be saved, we know then God fulfills His promise and He saves us. He forgives us of our sins. And that's how I know I'm saved. It's not because of some feeling I have. It's not because of circumstances within my life. It's because I did what God said, and I know God always fulfills His promise. And in the same way, if I am a faithful servant of the Lord, I love Him, I make Him the priority in my life, I trust Him, and I am faithfully serving Him, looking to His law in all things. Not that I am without weakness and without faults. Yes, I commit sin, but I repent of those. And I am faithfully following Him. One thing I know, God is with me. And whatever happens may not be what I think should happen, but I know God is with me because He has promised to be with us. And if we'll all have that kind of faith and that kind of commitment, dedication to the Lord, God will be with us all in the service that we render unto Him. You remember what, again, God said to Joshua, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. And as long as Joshua did that, God was with him. And the same is true for us. Well, the lesson is yours. The lesson is for us to make application in our lives. There may be some here today who know that God is not with you. And you know it because you're not right with Him. You haven't been serving Him. You're still in your sins. And you know that. Well, that can change. The wonderful thing about being alive is that we have opportunities. When we die, we cease to have these opportunities. When the Lord comes, there will no longer be this opportunity. But now, before that happens, we have opportunities to change. And if you're not right with God, if you have not committed your life to Him, then do that this morning. If you've never become a Christian, you've never given your life to Jesus, we want to urge you to make that decision, to respond to the invitation of Jesus by coming and rendering obedience to His gospel. Come today, believing that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of all your sins, commit your life to Him. Confess your faith before this group and then be baptized, that's immersed in water in His name for the remission of your sins. The Lord will save you. And you'll know that as you continue to follow Him, He'll be with you all the way. If you become a Christian but you've fallen away, you know you're in sin because you've ceased to serve Him faithfully, the Lord calls upon you to repent of your sins, confess your sins, and pray God for forgiveness. If your sin is of a public nature, you need to let the congregation know that you have repented and also that we might pray for you, that you might be healed and that God will be with you and help you as you now serve Him. If you're subject to this invitation in any way, please come as we stand and sing.